Hi, I'm Paul. I used to ask if you could hear me now with Verizon, but I switched to Sprint. They changed the game again with unlimited freedom. Unlimited mobile optimized streaming videos, gaming, music, and data for $60 a month. Can you hear that? Visit Sprint.com/freedom today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere for discounted phone subject to credit and $30 activation fees. Loose taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Streaming may be mobile optimized with video up to 480p and music up to 500 kilobytes per second. Games limited up to 2 megabytes per second. Private and network use rules apply and data deprioritization during congestion. Reliability claim based on third-party data restrictions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Doing well. It is the 10th of September 2016. Wow. Hey, I have to mention that I have been reminded by my friend Deborah. She's very close to me, very special woman. And she's an artist. She was an actual trained artist like I was. And I said some disparaging things about the Bay Area's art scene, and it so happens that she took me last week to San Francisco to the DeYoung Museum and reminded me not only is the DeYoung a world-class museum, but the whole Golden Gate Park and the Legion of Honor, which is another museum, and just the whole area is filled with a nice collection of art, and there's the MoMA, the Modern Museum of Art, and then the whole Bay Area is filled with art. And I guess I said some things colored by my frustration at the time, comparing the artwork of the East Coast to the West Coast. And she made some really great points, and I'm going to point a couple of them out for you listeners. And that is, the West Coast is a child compared to the East Coast. The East Coast has 300 years plus in philanthropy, in family development, and giving to the numerous museums. And as the rubber barons developed, as the wealth developed, as those families died off, they donated their collections to the Met, to a number of other museums on the East Coast. And I think one of my frustrations is that we have more billionaires here in the Bay Area with all the high tech, Google and Yahoo and Salesforce. And I mean, I could go down a list of owners and CEOs that are over the top wealth. Wealthy, Facebook and so on, Apple, they can ring off a whole bunch. And I just don't see them donating yet, but they're all young. They're all kids. A lot of them are kids and they don't get it. And as I get older, I appreciate the arts. And anyhow, the point being that Deborah reminded me. And thank you, Deborah, thank you for showing me that I was wrong. Now, I have to set the record straight. When I was younger, my parents had memberships to these museums in Golden Gate Park, which is a part of San Francisco, and we would go quite often. And this is when I was a kid. And I have lost touch. I haven't been a member for probably a decade or more, probably two decades, 20 years. So I haven't really followed what the scene is. And she helped me to see that we do have a very rich, culturally rich area here in the Bay Area, and we should be, I should be proud. And thank you for seeing, for showing me that. So that's something I want to make a good point of. The Bay Area is young. We are in our developmental period, and let's just hope that these guys that are raking it in are going to do something spectacular and make, create some nice collections. So I won't, I'm not going to say any more about it, but the point was made and I took it, and thank you for shedding the light. So, and it's funny, you know, when I was at the De Young, what's really cool is I happened to go into the American history portion of the museum, which is changing, which is part of a ongoing collection. And I found this amazing Veracruz double whistle. Now, if you haven't seen the double whistle before, the double whistle is about, I think, 1,000 years old. And it is one of the most anomalous whistles you'll ever see. The reason that it's so weird is it's shaped like an aircraft. There's a figure with a dragon head sitting at the top. His legs are bent behind him, like he's seated in a certain way, and he's kind of sitting back, like the force of wind or the force of a current has pushed him back. And he sits on two, what can only be described as wings. And when you see these, this whistle, you have to wonder what the heck were they thinking when they designed this thing. The other anomalous parts of it are there's a smaller figure laying on his back in front of the other figure who would be considered a driver. The details of the two wing-like shapes are unique. There's calligraphy on each of them. They're round. And it's just a very, very odd whistle. I wouldn't even consider it a whistle. There's a tail section to this. All I can say is it's kind of a craft. And it's at the De Young Museum. It was collected by the Lund estate. And placed in there with a number of his other works. And you can see this. I've actually taken some photographs, and I placed it on the Facebook Earth Ancient group page. Go check it out. It's really, really kind of different. I've never seen anything like it. And it's one of those objects that the ancient alien enthusiasts grab a hold of and start spinning all kinds of possibilities. And I have to say, it's one of those artifacts that makes you really consider that it maybe had some kind of it was conceived based on some other things, possibly the wreckage of an ancient ship or something like that. It's just really, really kind of cool, and I can see where they enthusiasts would consider it a possible piece from the ancient past, maybe a ship of some kind. So it's called the Veracruz double whistle, and it's kind of cool looking. The other thing I want to point out is Jan Peter de Jong sent me a gallery of Eddie Herron's photographs, and Eddie Herron was a Peruvian pilot who became very interested in the glyphs of Peru, the big figurines north of Nazca. And this gallery is fascinating, and I really encourage you to take a look at it. It has these huge humans, birds of all types, animals. There's about 20 different photographs that he's placed on here. Some really weird creatures. And you have to ask yourself, why would they make these monstrosities on the ground that no one can see? unless you're several hundred to a thousand feet above ground. Same thing with the Nazca lines. Who in the hell gave them the idea to create these animals, these figures, in such a size that the only way they can see them is from the highest elevations? I mean, Eric Von Däniken has Nazca lines in his early books, and continues to consider them alien in Inception. And you have to wonder, you know, why would they do that? Now, the other thing that's quite unique is Eddie Herron takes a picture. It's actually here in Jan's collection. You can see it at the Earth Ancients Facebook page. Go to groups. There is probably, of all the photographs, the most unique is this geometric pattern that can only be considered sacred geometry. And it's huge. It must be hundreds of feet square. Within the square is a perfect circle. Within the circle is a perfect cross. And then off to the right is another giant circle with a smaller cross. And you can see where there's indications every so many feet of some kind of hole. And this thing is a monster. It's a monster it has no discernible reason why it was put up here. Jan estimates it's thousands of years old, and from the ground it would make no sense whatsoever. I mean, no sense whatsoever. And it's really a perplexing design. And take a look at it and see what you think. It's quite unique. Earth Ancients Facebook, go to the group page. It's a monster. It's a cool gallery. I really enjoy Jan's work. He is in Cusco right now. I think he's doing a tour. He's been there now a couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll get some more photographs from him. So Jan, thank you very much. Of course, we've had Jan Peter de Jong on our show. He's the Dutch engineer who has spent a great deal of time with Jesus Gamarra, whose father came up with the three worlds of stone masonry. If you didn't hear that show, go back and do a Google search, Gamarra, and you can hear all the details of that show and what the stonework's all about.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Coming to you live from around the world, it's Earth Ancient News.
And this is a big one. This is a big discovery. I have never heard about this. Brown University's Stephen Houston and a team of leading researchers in anthropology and in Mayan archaeology have now discovered a fourth Maya codex. It's called the Growler Codex. It's an ancient document that was found in the caves of Mexico in 1960. For years, they thought it was a phony. They thought it was a hoax. It was a fake. And Houston, along with Professor Michael Coe. Coe is an archaeologist, anthropologist. He's one of the early Mayanists who's still alive. He's still with us. Confirmed that this manuscript, fragments of this manuscript, are the real thing. So at this point, we have only a handful of documents left. We have three other codices, these books, that were left to us. If you don't know the history of Mayan codices, these are extremely sophisticated observational scientific books that chart the movement of Venus, Mars, the moon, and other planets. The speculation is that they use them for growing crops, in some cases going to war, but they're extremely accurate. And my guess, and the guess of a lot of other scholars, is that they were at one time, they were transferred from earlier books. They were copied from manuscripts, from manuals. And unfortunately, when the conquistadors came to Central America, they brought along with them priests whose job was to convert these heathen Maya to Christianity. And if you don't know this name, don't forget it. Padre Diego de Landa, who was the Spanish priest, systematically burned these codices. He burnt, we know that he burnt 27 manuscripts, and it's estimated he also burned and destroyed 5,000 idols and sacred documents. It's come out recently also that he probably burned significantly more than 27 books. There were probably libraries that were destroyed. And it's my belief that the Maya inherited their science, inherited their technology to engineer mathematically design pyramid complexes and other systems. They when the conquistadors, Spanish, came and found the people that are considered Maya, they found the last generations of a once superior race. But anyhow, getting back to this codex, it's only 10 pages. And I've actually posted it on the Facebook. You can see it. You can read what they discovered. Again, it's called the Grolier Club, actually the Grolier Codex. It's kept at the New York City Grolier Club. That's why they call it the Grolier Codex. It's a private club of intellectuals, scientists. I guess you have to have some kind of a background. But it's now one of three. One of four. It's the fourth one that they've found, and it's huge news. It's considered the fourth Maya Codex, and basically it has, it's decorated with ritualistic Maya symbology, a calendar that charts the planet Venus. And there's, it's very simple. Again, it's only 10 pages of an original book, but it's pretty amazing. And that we have it is fantastic. And let's hope we can find some more of these books as we continually excavate parts of Central America. Because I think as we uncover the history of the Maya, these books will really shed light onto what kind of knowledge they had. And I think it's much more than what we think, what we have in terms of current understanding. So they're very curious people. So the Grolier Codex is something to think about. It's pretty big news. I think it's huge news, actually, and we'll hear more about it. You can read more about it as it's published. This is just was released this week, so big news. Okay, so this is the interview for the week with Victor Camacho, and this is an interesting interview. I've told you that I wanted to get to the bottom of these artifacts from Mexico with these unusual figurines that appear to have helmets on to show evidence of spaceships, saucers, ray guns, different symbology of planets. And very curious, there's some written language of some kind on a number of these codices. You're going to learn that these were discovered approximately 50 years ago, which is an eye-opener. I only learned about them about 4 years ago, and they're quite fascinating. So I hope you enjoy this, and I'll come back after this interview, and we'll talk a little bit about next week's show. So I have been looking and trying to find some solid resources and evidence for these so-called alien artifacts that have come out of Mexico. We know from Nassim Harriman and Klaus Dana that they have seen these items. And I wanted to get to the bottom of this simply because these are not only a handful of items. There are several thousand that have been documented. Nassim believes they are real artifacts. In fact, he and Klaus did a video where he identified a number of these objects from Mexico. But we're still waiting to learn more. He mentioned that he had had some testing done. We don't know what the testing results were. That was we had Nassim on the program a few weeks ago. He hasn't gotten back to me. Klaus is a huge advocate of these artifacts. And the real issue for me, and I've traveled extensively throughout Mexico, is that they do not conform to any known native people in Mexico. And recently, what is quite unique is one of the, I don't want to say founder, but one of the people who runs this area in Mexico, Juan Chavez, sent me some photographs of these archives, these artifacts that were in a local museum with known civilizations, known artifacts from civilizations that were in that area. What that makes me think about is either the curator of these items felt strongly enough to place them in the museum, or they were oddities that he thought he would combine with known civilizations. So I thought that was curious, and I don't know what the idea was behind that, but these artifacts are strange. They're very strange. They're called alien artifacts for the simple reason that they show images of almond-eyed beings. These beings have helmets on. They have spacesuits on. There are saucer-like craft that show exhausts, propulsion. There's images of planets. There's images of ray beams, beams of light or beams of energy of some kind. And I really wanted to get to the bottom of this, and I promised you, my listeners, that we would. And we are fortunate today to have someone who has studied these items for a number of years and actually speaks about them quite regularly. My guest today is Victor Camacho, and he's a local researcher, but he's also a radio talk show host of the Spanish-speaking program Las Desvelados, and that means the sleepless ones, which airs nationally in the United States and Mexico. And he actually has carried these around to a number of locations around the country. But it's funny, Victor is a researcher. He's also been on TV programs like Discovery Channel, the History Channel's UFO Hunter, and Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Faked, which I find is interesting. So he's worked in the United States for 27 years, and he's coming to us tonight from Utah. Victor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Cliff. Thank you for the invitation, and I'm so excited to talk to you about this strange artifacts that I found in Mexico.
You know, it's interesting, Victor. I've seen some of the photos you've given me. I think we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to when these artifacts were found and what the history is of them. Can you tell us a little bit about how these and where these objects were found and when?
Yeah, before 2012, I received a call from a friend in San Diego. He's a researcher also. And he told me that he was investigating so many strange artifacts with alien or extraterrestrials, faces and all this stuff. And I was really interested, you know, as anybody, you know, to hear something like that. And the first idea that I have in mind, because he never mentioned where he was located investigating these things, is that it was in the south part of Mexico, because, you know, the Maya prophecies and all this stuff. And I thought that maybe it was in Chiapas or Yucatan. This is the south part of Mexico where they were finding these artifacts. He never mentioned where he was doing the research, because the owner of this land where the artifacts were found, he wants $250,000 to do the open investigation for this discovery in his land. So at the time, well, I didn't have that kind of money, and I just wished luck to my friend, and it was it, you know. It was really interesting. He sent me a couple pictures of these artifacts, and it was really, really, I mean, you saw this, as you see it before, it was too good to be true, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then a few months later, another friend from Aguascalientes in Mexico, he told me about this other person that has found these strange artifacts in the central north part of Mexico. So I asked him if he can give me, you know, the real location of these artifacts, and he gave me all the information. I went over there to talk to the first person to have found these artifacts. His name is Juan Cárdenas. His father, I guess, is one of the first persons that found these artifacts in Ojuelos, Jalisco, about 55 years ago. But I guess for his beliefs in the religion or something like that, he thought that maybe these rocks with these strange faces, there were like a curse, something like that, you know. So when they found it, these artifacts, or his father found these artifacts, he just put it back and tried to forget about that. He was, Juan Cárdenas was a child at that time when he saw his father, you know, digging and finding these rocks. Then, after his father died, he started to dig and take all these rocks that his father, he didn't took it at home, you know, because he thought that maybe those rocks were cursed or something like that. Anyway, Juan Cárdenas, he is the person that found the museum in Ojuelos with these artifacts. He gave to the city about 200 pieces. And then the people that has the power there, they give him the chance to run the museum for about 4 years.
Okay.
After that, when they change, you know, the people in the city management, they close the museum, but they keep the artifacts, the pieces.
Uh-oh.
And just they given like a receipt, you know, that they received like a 200 pieces from Juan Cárdenas, and that's it. That happened, I guess, like 4 years ago.
Okay.
So when I went down there, I tried to find these artifacts that the city management has it. So I went directly to the city building over there. I talked to the municipal president, like the city manager over there. I talked to him, and I asked him if he can give me access to the artifacts that Juan gave to the city for the museum. And he told me that these artifacts were in the warehouse and something like that, His secretary gave me a tour around, you know, the building, and we didn't find these artifacts at all. You know, I mean, somebody took it.
Oh, really?
But I mean, those 200 artifacts are lost. So I asked him if they don't believe that the rocks are, you know, a really good deal, how, I mean, they disappeared, you know, suddenly nobody knows about these artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't give me an explanation about that. So I tried to find directly Juan Cárdenas. I went to his house and I talked to him about these pieces that he gave to the city, and he gave me a lot of papers because he took photographs, and also the Department of Archaeology in Mexico, they took photographs and they classified these artifacts. So he has all the paperwork for this classification, all this thing. But nobody knows where exactly are the rocks right now. And and I talked to Juan, and I asked him if he can show me. He has some other pieces of rocks in their house and his house, and he showed me a few of them, you know, because it was the first time that I talked to him. He wasn't so open with me, and you know, you need to get his trust of these people before they can show you another staff.
Yeah.
So he showed me just a few pieces, but one of these pieces is it was amazing because it's like a gray. You don't have any doubts. I mean, you saw this artifact, and it has all the characteristics for a gray. You know, the big head, the long eyes, a skinny building. I mean, the body is skinny, and I mean, I will send you the picture so you can see this artifact for yourself. And and I asked him if he can show me another a place where he had found these artifacts. He wasn't so open at the time, as I told you, and it was my first interview with him. So talking to the people in the town, I noticed that right now they have a small groups over there that have, you know, some of these artifacts, and they proclaim or they say that they have contact with the spirits of this area, et cetera, you know. But
yeah.
Somebody told me that they were a person, an old man, that he had found a lot of these rocks, and he was selling it. They gave me their address. I went with him. I talked to him, and his name is Don Manuel. And I talked to Don Manuel and mentioned that we were interested to do a documentary about this case, about the artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
But what I need is to go with him, and one of the places that he had found these artifacts in Ojuelos. He was more open than Juan, and he said, yeah, that's fine. I can take you one of the places that I was working with these artifacts, because I know that you can return to do digging, you know?
Yeah.
And I say, well, thank you. And I returned later, a few weeks later, with a camera crew, and because we were filming this for a documentary, and Don Manuel took us to a place where he has found several of these artifacts. It's in the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking with the equipment, I mean the cameras and all this stuff, for about 2 hours and a half until we get to the top. And when we were there, we can see there is a lot of bushes and trees and cactus, you know, but you can see it was an ancient city there. You can see the walls for the houses, the streets, traces for rooms and all this stuff that they have there, you know. But one important thing is this region in Mexico, it doesn't have any big civilization right there. I mean, it's not like a Maya or Aztecs, you know. The people that lives in this area in ancient times, they were, I don't know how to say that in English. It's the people, they were walking and they don't build a big buildings, you know, a big pyramid.
Okay.
They
but
used
let me
to stay
stop
for a
you there
few
for
months.
A second.
Nomads. Let, I don't know if that's the way.
Victor, let me just stop you for a second. So you actually did find ruined city. You did find the ruins of buildings and the ruins of some construction there that was, you know, it was decayed and broken and hadn't really been excavated. And this is where this individual was digging for these artifacts.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, when we were over there, we saw this, you know, all the buildings, and caves. There is a lot of caves there, big caves. I mean, we couldn't get through because they have some fumes in these caves. And he told me that he dig in this area. He was digging this area, and several hundreds of the artifacts that he had found there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he showed us this place, and we call it the Lost City. You know, because it was a big thing. I mean, the area is really big. You can't see really the dimension of this area because there's a lot of trees and bushes. You need to clean that up. You don't know the area, but it was a big thing. Then he told me that he has sold hundreds of pieces to a person in another city close to Ojuelos, and he gave me, you know, his phone number of this person, and he said you can go there and he can show you the pieces that I sold to him. And I did that. You know, I called this guy in Aguascalientes, and I told him that I want to talk to him, and he mentioned, and I told him that I was really interested to see his collection, and he was pretty open. You know, he mentioned, yeah, you came over, and I'm going to try to rent a place where I can put all my rocks or artifacts that I have. So we went down there to Aguascalientes to meet this other person.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. He put like a nine tables. I don't know if you can visualize this. Is the tables is like a 6 or 8 feet long, the tables.
Mm-hmm.
He put nine of these tables with rocks all over. Nine tables with these artifacts. Each
wow.
artifact were different. I mean, none of this is identical. We are talking about 1,500 artifacts that he has, or he had at that time. We took it took us like 9 hours taking pictures and video for each of these rocks, because I mean when you saw these artifacts of these rocks, this rock is engraving all around the rock. I mean, you can visualize the four sides of the rock with the engravings. So you have to take like a four pictures for each rock, you know, document all the information that is in one of these rocks. So
yeah.
I believe I took like a 4,000 pictures, so almost 5,000 pictures for this collection. And as I told you, we spent like 9 hours photographing and videotaping all these rocks, because I know that we're gonna lose this information sooner or later, because these people, you know, they sold these artifacts to anybody that wants to pay for it.
Really?
So okay. I guess it was the first time to see it, and I guess it was the last time also, you know, because you never know if you can find this piece later on. And
thankfully, you documented that. Thankfully, you actually photographed and you talked to the individual who had the pieces, and you've taken photographs. So that's really important. But my question to you, Victor, is, hasn't the National Institute of Archaeology and History gotten involved in this? I mean, they're huge. You would think that they would be there in Huelos, you know, checking this museum out and seeing these artifacts and reporting on them. What's the deal with that?
Well, you know, after I did that, document all these artifacts and try to put together this information for a documental in Mexico, we aired the first part of this two parts of the documental. We aired the first one in a Mexican TV station over there, and I tried to see if there is any reaction, you know, for the Mexican archaeology department. I have a lot of I have a lot of friends that they are archaeologists and anthropologists in Mexico. I tried to get his help, you know, with this case, but nobody wants to do anything with this, you know. I tried to take one of these pieces to the Mexican Department of Archaeology in Mexico City. They told me that these artifacts are fake, but they don't want to do anything with them. You know, you just saw the artifact and said, yeah, this is fake. But they don't want to do any analysis. They don't want to know anything about this, you know?
So no one really inspected the artifacts with any detail. They just randomly just said, it's a fake, we're not going to bother? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, they just saw one of these pieces and say, no, this is fake. Well, why this is fake? You know, just give me an explanation for why this is fake. And I tried to show them, you know, the pictures that we took for all other artifacts in Aguascalientes, and nobody wants to do anything with this case in Ojuelos. The little help that I have with one or two archaeologists, they just give me information off the camera, you know, because they even want to be on camera and say, you know, this is fake. I don't know. I feel they are scared about this.
You think so? Is that what you think that they're afraid?
They are afraid. Well, my friends are afraid because they can lose their jobs, you know, because they depend directly to the Mexican Department of Archaeology. But the Department of Archaeology, as I told you, the pieces that were in the museum, they did, you know, and they took a picture and classified these rocks but they never said, you know, that these rocks are real or something like that.
Well, that's why I want to ask you. Let me ask you this. So if a little museum in Huelos had these rocks with some other known civilizations and the known artifacts, who was in charge of the museum? It must have been someone with some idea that these artifacts, these unusual artifacts with these alien-like beings, were radically different. Why put them up in the museum if they didn't consider them real?
Because Ojuelos is in a small town, and they give you, you know, in charge this museum to Juan Cárdenas. Juan Cárdenas, you know, is a farmer. But he had found a lot of pieces, you know. That's why, you know, he gave the pieces to the city, and they give you the chance, you know, in a small part of the municipal building to do this museum. Because the people there, they know that the artifacts has been found there for years.
Okay, so they know about them.
But nobody cares, you know, about the artifacts. Until 4 years ago, when the media start to look to Ojuelos and look to the artifacts, and then, you know, is where the people start to looking for these rocks over there. So I guess that's why they don't really. When I was there, like 3 years ago, the first time that I was there, they tried to give one of these pieces to the governor of Jalisco to see if they were interested to do something. You know, the analysis that the rocks. I mean, the analysis that has been to the rocks. Is because we have to do it for ourselves, you know, but we don't have any help from any government or department from Mexico that says, you know, we want to do something with the analysis of these rocks. They don't want to do anything. You know, if this is a real thing, what I believe, it changed everything. It will change everything because is something that is not how to say that in English.
Very
it's something
different.
That will change everything. I mean, the origin of the man, the religion maybe, the cultures that were in this area in ancient times. When you saw this information in the engravings in these rocks, you can see a history for a civilization that came from the stars, and they established their culture or their people in this region of Mexico. As I told you, each of these rocks is different. I mean, the engravings are totally different. None of them are the same. When you see the work that they put to do these artifacts, it's really amazing. You need to touch it. You need to feel it. I mean, if somebody is doing this just to get fun and try to confuse the people, as I told you, there are thousands of these rocks.
Yeah.
And the person that has been doing this, they have to know about astrology. He has to know about archaeology. He has to know about ancient language. He has to know about like ufology, because all of these topics are mixed in this in those artifacts. So as I told you, I went to the Mexican archaeology department. They don't want to do anything, and then I start to doing the second part of the documentary for this Mexican TV station. They were, I mean, when we present this on air in Mexico, the people were petrified, you know, because they said, what the hell is this? You know, they never know. I mean, they didn't have any idea that something like that were in Mexico, were found in Mexico, and nobody doing anything, you know. So the owners of this channel, they told me that they were really interested to do the second part and asked me if we have if we have material to do a second part of this. And I told them, yeah, we have a lot of information and other pieces that we can show, you know. So I received a call from Don Manuel, you know, this old man that he had found most of these pieces over there in Ojuelos. And he told me that he was working in another place that he called this place the temple. And I asked him, well, why you think it was a temple there? And he mentioned, because I found amazing artifacts, different from the other ones. And he said, well, if you want to come over, I can show you the place. And I say, well, I see you there in a couple of days. So I talked to the station over there in Mexico, and they give me, you know, all the resources to go down there and film this place. And we were there in Ojuelos again with Don Manuel. He took us to a different place, you know, between the Lost City, the first place that I told you about. He took me over there. So between the lost city to the temple is about 10 or 12 miles long.
Hmm.
And between these two points, there are a lot of buildings and ruins and settlements, ancient settlements over there. I mean, it was a big thing over there.
That's a big piece of a big city, I guess. Very big.
Yeah.
Very big. I'd like to see some of the photographs of these ruins you could send me. We could put it up for our audience to look at, because I haven't seen any ruins or building structures of any.
I will send you the documentary so you can see it, because it has English subtitles.
Okay.
So you can see the first part of this investigation.
Right.
So we went to the temple. The temple was in the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't see, you know, and first sight where the temple was. But as soon as we were walking to the top of this hill, you can see stairs. You can see walls, a big wall around the top of the hill.
Mm.
And he was excavating there. I mean, he was digging there. And he showed me there. Later in his house, he showed me a dagger. I guess that's the name. It's like a big knife with a lot of engravings there. And it was totally amazing, the work for they have to do these artifacts in this place. And I believed. I mean, they use this the dagger and the other things that he found there, like a ceremonial objects, and also the engravings. You can see some kind of sacrifice things, and I don't know. It's really amazing, the information that you found. You can see in these artifacts that he had found mm-hmm. in this place called the temple.
Okay. Well, let's talk. Let's go back a little bit and get some more basic, and then let's go forward after
sure.
that. I want to ask you. So 4 years ago, Raul Julia's son, Levy, came out and made this big proclamation. He was one of the first sons of a celebrity to make a claim about these artifacts,
mm-hmm.
and said that the Mexican government would be making a statement about the authenticity of that.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, he has kind of gone underground. We haven't heard anything from him, and we've heard nothing from the Mexican government. So
yeah.
that makes me suspicious that maybe the Mexican government is either covering something up, or the whole thing kind of turned into a big mess, and Julia was outed as being a phony. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I remember that. I read this report about this discovery,
mm-hmm.
but he mentioned it was a Maya thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with the Mayas. Or directly to the Mayas that we know, because the Mayas were, that's why I thought that these pieces were found in the south part of Mexico.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the north desertic place in Ojuelos, Jalisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, he mentioned it was Maya, and he showed you, I guess, a picture in the jungle, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But and after that, as you mentioned, he never say anything else about this, you know.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared.
Yeah, he just disappeared, and we didn't know anything. But the artifacts are there. Nowhere, maybe I was thinking that that was in South part of Mexico, but mm-hmm. the pieces are right there, and I guess the Mexican government, I guess they will never will say anything about this. Authenticity of these rocks.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about these stones. They are first of all, the vast majority of them have almond-shaped beans carved into them. These are and they're wearing helmets. They're wearing zero pressure suits. There's pictures of flying saucers. That's the general theme. Is that correct?
Yeah. As I told you that we were in Aguascalientes 9 hours classifying these rocks, I have to do a classification pretty quick there about these stones. So what I did is classify in five different types of these engravings. One of these is beans with wings. It's like extraterrestrial angels. When you saw these beings with the wings, the work that they did to engrave these images in the rock is really, really amazing. I mean, you don't have you don't have to guess anything. I mean, you saw an angel, extraterrestrial angel there, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of these artifacts has those engravings for the being with winds. Another classified that I did is offering of the infants. Most of these engravings show how they gave little children, alien children, to another being that came from the UFO, from this spaceship, and he received this child and took it to the stars.
Mm.
And then when he took to the stars, he received this being in the spaceship. He received like his sphere or orb of energy that he is giving back to the person or to the being that gave this infant to him.
Okay.
So this is what I read, you know, with a lot of pictures that we took. I tried to put together like a history or something like that, what I saw in these engravings. Another classified thing is different types of beings. As you mentioned, there is a lot of different beings there engraving these rocks.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, as you say, it has a helmet with a glass in the front, two antennas in their head, a slender body, and four fingers. Another
right.
kind of beings over there is an almond-shaped eye, pointy nose, and a slender body also. Another kind of being is like a gray alien with an almond-shaped eye, a long skull, a slender body, and also four fingers. Most of them show four fingers. All of them show four fingers. And also we have found some figures with feminine attributes, you know, like big breast, almond-shaped eyes, a small mouth and nose, four fingers, and also with helmets. So there is a lot of different beings that you found in these artifacts. Another classified that I did is an alien writing. You know, the glyphs that you found in these rocks is really incredible. The writing that are in these rocks, I couldn't find any reference with any ancient language right now. 3 weeks ago, when I was in Sacramento, there were a few people from China, and they mentioned it looks a lot of like old Chinese symbols, but nobody recognized what it really means, you know, but
right.
It's really, really incredible, you know, the writing that you can find in these pieces. And plus, classified that I did is prehispanic glyphs, because some of these aliens has old gods, an old is a language. And also some of these pieces has like a Maya, Aztec, and Olmec languages.
Hmm.
So you can see the different glyphs that came from different times. That's
Wait
why
a minute.
I
I'm
have.
Sorry. Did you say that some of these artifacts have Maya glyphs on them?
Yeah.
Maya writing?
Yeah,
oh
they
God.
Have Maya glyphs. They have Maya glyphs. They have Nahuatl glyphs. They have Olmec glyphs.
And Olmec is the first I've heard of this. This is
Olmec
very
is the first culture.
Hmm.
It's about the Olmecs. They were in Mexico, in the Atlantic coast, in the Gulf of Mexico, like three to 4,000 years ago.
Right.
And then the Mayas.
Right.
And the last civilization was the Nahuatl.
Yeah.
So we had found, this person, Don Manuel, had found artifacts with the three different languages in the same piece.
Interesting.
So that's one of the problems that I have with some friends that are archaeologists, because they told me it's impossible to find something with these three languages in the same rock.
Exactly. Yeah, that would cause them a problem. Now, you individually have said that you sent some pieces to be carbon tested, and you sent them to the University of Arizona in Tucson, and you wanted some analysis. What have they said about this work? Have they said anything about these artifacts?
Sure. Well, do you remember the first friend that told me about these artifacts in 2012? His name is Jose Jaramillo, and I told you that he mentioned that he was working in somewhere in Mexico analyzing and investigating these artifacts, but he never mentioned where.
Mm-hmm.
So later, he told me that he was investigating this case in another place in Mexico called San Luis Potosí. That is another state different from Jalisco, where Ojuelo is located. So we have two different states or two different places where those artifacts are being found. So he took three of these pieces that he has access, and he took it to the University of Arizona in Tucson to do the carbon-14 test. One of these pieces that we're dating, it results with us to being 16,000 years old.
Huh.
Another 10,000 years old, and the last one 8,000 years old. So
okay.
We're talking about an ancient civilization that we don't have any idea about them, and they lived like amazing stone library with the information that they have at the time, you know.
Yeah.
So. And we are talking about 16,000 years old, some of these artifacts.
So you have that carbon date validated somewhere? You have the documents of them saying this is what we come up with, 16,000 plus minus 100 years, 200 years. Which
yeah,
is
my friend has all the paperwork for this.
Mm-hmm.
And we show them this in the second part of the documentary that we have done with this case.
Okay.
For myself, I mean, what I did is to take, and also one of these pieces to a private laboratory here in Salt Lake City to do the chemical analysis of this rock. And they found, you know, carbon, oxygen, aluminum, silicon, sulfur, chlorine, and iron. In this one of these pieces that I took to this laboratory, and this mixture of things is the material that we can find in the rocks of this region, because in this region they have a rhyolite, granite, and basalt. The rocks that are in this area, and also the pieces of these artifacts are being doing with this kind of rocks.
Okay, so that's interesting too. they're not indigenous to that area, is what you're saying. They're not typical for that the area where the those items were found. Has anyone found a skeletal remain of any of the beings that live there? Any kind of indication of what they actually look like? Any specimens?
I asked to Don Manuel. You know, he's the person that I have more confidence with him, you know, and he's more open with me. And I asked him, Don Manuel, you have found any skulls or any bones when you found these artifacts? And he said that, yes, he has found some kind of skulls or bones, but as soon as he opened the tombs, these bones just disappeared. You know, it's like it's really old thing. That as soon as he touched it or the air touched these bones, just it's like a dust.
Yeah, interesting.
And okay. But for other hand. Juan Cardenas, the person that I told you that he and his father are the first one that found these artifacts, he showed me a picture of a skull that he had found in the cave. And also with Juan Chavez, I guess you already talked to him.
Good skull. That turned out to be not that turned out to be an animal skull.
Yeah, well, is what he told me, that he had found these kind of things, and I asked him if he could take me to the cave where he had found this, and they didn't want to go there without a pay. You know, I mean, we have to pay to go there, but is the only information that I have right now from Don Manuel, that he mentioned that he has found some bones and skulls, but as soon as he touched it, you know, it just disappears.
God, did he get any pictures, though, before he did that? Pictures. We need those pictures.
You know, he's a farmer. He's a man that have a machete in his hand. He doesn't have any cell phone, and he just go there and dig and take the rocks and try to sell it as soon as he can.
I understand that. Let's take a short break here. If you're enjoying this program today, it's really important that you support our sponsor. Our sponsor is Gaia, and they have probably the best streaming media website with hundreds of top authors like Graham Hancock, Nassim Harriman, Greg Braden. Dave Wilcox has a new Pyramid program. Dr. Carmen Balter's The Pyramid Code is there. Tons of sacred geometry programs, ancient wisdom, and a lot of unexplained ancient origin series that you cannot get anywhere else but on Gaia. And as our sponsor, they have generously offered us a special program for our listeners. If you go to gaia.com/earthancients, you'll be introduced to a fantastic new program, a series of presentations for the unimaginable price of just 99 cents to join. And 99 cents is the first month. After that, it's $9.95. But this is a great opportunity to see, listen to many of the people we feature on our Earth Ancients. But not only on Earth Ancients, these are world-class people. Graham Hancock describes his new book, reads off of chapters, and also describes his research in really great, elegant descriptions. So check out our sponsor, Gaia. That's at gaia.com/earthancients. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. And you can't beat that price, 99 cents to start off, and then just $9 a month. So please check it out. Victor, I know we're getting down to our time here, but it sounds like you are a believer. It sounds like you believe that these are actual artifacts. I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence simply because I haven't seen them up close and personal. They basically tell me one thing, and I could be completely wrong about this, but it seems to me, if these are actual artifacts, it seems to me that an off-world civilization culture came, landed in this part of Central America, had a civilization, maybe exchanged some information with the Olmec, maybe the Maya, maybe with other people, lived in the area for a few thousand years, and then got up and left.
what I believe is because some of these artifacts show like hybrids, you know, some human characteristic with alien characteristics. As I told you, you have to see all the pictures from these artifacts and try to build history for this culture. But what I believe is that they mix with the people that they were in that time, the originals that were in this place. They mix with them, and they maybe we are part of this mixture, you know. Because you can see it in some of these engravings and the relation between these beings with the ancient people that lives there.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That is a consideration. It's really going to be hard for a lot of the public if NIAH, National Institute of Archaeology and History, or an American university or an American researcher with links to a university doesn't get in there and start really evaluating these items. You're actually, other than Nassim Harriman, you're the only one who's mentioned to me and has gone forward and gotten the C14 carbon dating done that validates it. But given today's technology and people making fakes and hoaxing individuals, it's really, really hard for the vast majority of us that are sophisticated, that live here in the internet age, to consider these items anything but a hoax. And it's unfortunate because they're wonderful to look at. I've seen a number of pieces, and they're just, some of them are very well crafted. But without a language, without any kind of reference, any kind of stele or standing stones or anything to validate that they were here, it's hard to really grasp onto it. And this is why the National Institute of Archaeology and History, if they could get down there and excavate at least part of one of these ruins, part of one of these cities, to validate that this is a true unknown civilization, and oh my God, they look alien, then, you know, it's hard to validate. It's hard to go, well, yeah, that could be. And so
no, it's too good to be true. I mean, I know, because I feel and I think the same that what you're saying right now, but you have to see it. I mean, you have to feel it. You have to see it. And you will know that there is a possibility to think that those artifacts are real. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that somebody is doing this right now, and they threw to the mountains just to think, just to waiting to somebody found these artifacts someday, and that's it. I mean, it is a person to doing this. It's better, you know, to put a shop in the town and a store, and I guess he can sell a lot of these pieces, you know. But why took these artifacts to the mountains, put them over there, and see if somebody found it, you know. And as I told you, if the person that has been doing this, I mean, they're fake, he has to know a lot of things. I mean, he has to manage a lot of knowledge from different things, you know. And I mean, I found a rock. Well, Don Manuel found a rock that has an alien talking to the Tlatoani. The Tlatoani is the name for the king in the ancient times in the Aztec culture. and he is talking to the Tlatoani, and he's pointing to the star. I mean, this alien, the gray one, he's pointing to the sky.
Hmm.
In the sky, you can see two stars. You know where the grays came from, isn't it? For Zeta Reticuli, the system Zeta Reticuli.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
this
that's
system,
supposed to be the gray home, yeah.
Yeah, this system has two suns, two stars.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody there in Ojuelos is doing these rocks, he has to know that the grays came from Zeta Reticuli, and the Zeta Reticuli has two stars. And putting this in this rock, engrave this information in the rock. And you know, it's a lot of things that you have to put together, analyze, and see. Well, I guess nobody in the town is doing this. And also the craftsman, the polish of these rocks. That's why it's amazing that the archaeology, Mexican Department of Archaeology, they don't want to do anything with this. But as soon as or later, they have to do it. I mean,
yeah.
They will feel the pressure for the people because they want answers. They want to know if they are fake or not. And also the people in Ojuelos, I mean, this person, Don Manuel Juan Cardenas, they are open to show these artifacts and give them to them for analysis. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are open to do that.
But this
so
has been going on for 4 years, Victor. This has been known about, at least publicly, for 4 years. You know, I mean, obviously, it was discovered 50 years ago. But if it's a small town and things don't get out because people just aren't sophisticated in that part of Mexico. But when it was announced publicly, wasn't there articles and more TV shows four years ago that would want to know more information? And
yeah.
why has it not been followed up on research wise?
No idea. I mean, they just go there and make the interviews and show some of these artifacts and that's it. I mean, nobody does anything. I guess we are the only ones that try to do a following of this. I mean, that we haven't forgotten this case because, you know, big channels go over there and they just do the report and that's it. You know, they don't want to do any following.
Hmm.
Yeah,
is there any individual in the town of Ojuelos that is trying to seek government intervention to actually begin to evaluate this discovery? Is there anybody that's working on it?
Yeah, as I told you, when I talked to the municipal president over there, he was open. I mean, they tried to give one of these artifacts to the governor of this state to see if there is any way that they can, you know, have the attention for the government to do anything over there.
Hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel they are scared of this thing. I mean, it will change. If those artifacts are real, as I think they are, I guess we have to change all the history books later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Victor,
we have to change everything.
Camacho, thank you very much. I know that we have a limited time here, and I would really appreciate getting photographs or any imagery that you could send me that we've discussed, especially any kind of building ruins or wall. You mentioned walls. I'd love to see a picture of a wall. And this temple. This temple would be wonderful to look at, too. And I will put it up on our Facebook page where our people are, and also put it up on our website when it becomes available.
Sure, sure. I will send you that. And as I told you, as soon as I can air the second part of this documentary in Mexico, I will let you know. I mean, what's the reaction from the people and also from the government in Mexico?
Okay, great. And what's a website people can go and read more about your work and your artifacts? Do you have a website that you would like to tell us about?
Well, we have the show, the website from the radio show. It's called okay. Desvelado.com. I mean, you can find it in Desvelado.com, or you can go on Facebook. All the information are in Spanish. Unfortunately, this is in Spanish, but you can go to Desvelado.com, or in Facebook, you can find my webpage, Los Desvelados Victor Camacho. But I will send you a link so you can maybe put it in your webpage and your listeners can go through. Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. And we're going to try to have Victor and his wife come out to San Francisco. This will be April 29th and 30th of 2017. That's next year.
Okay.
And have his items with him so you can actually see them firsthand. So if you're in San Francisco, that'd be great. And I guess you're traveling around the country too, and doing other shows and exhibiting these items, right?
Yeah. Well, they invite me to do a conference about this amazing artifacts, and also I will be in Ojuelos, I guess, at the end of this year. So maybe I can give you more information later about what's going on down there.
That'd be great. We'll have you back on the program. We can give us an update. Okay,
sure,
Victor, thank you very much. It's been really great.
Thank you, Cliff.
We're having you on the program, and I appreciate you giving us a heads up about these artifacts.
Sure. No, thank you for the invitation, and as soon as I got some other staff or information about this case, I will let you know.
Perfect. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. I want to have Victor on again. I do want to remind you that I'm going to do what I can to get him to San Francisco with these artifacts in April of next year. I will keep reminding you of that as time comes along. And I work as a consulting program director for New Living Expo here in San Francisco. And we have a great program that we're already building up. I'll talk a little bit about that the next time. Okay, that's it for today. Next week's guest is a surprise. I will talk. Well, you can learn about it if you want to go to the Facebook page. I'll announce it on Wednesday. So go to the Facebook, Earth Ancients, go to group. And as a reminder, this is a Gaia-sponsored program. Gaia has developed a wonderful website just for our listeners. And if you go to gaia.com/earthancients, you'll see a really great list of programs, including Nassim Harriman, a really cool multi-part series by Graham Hancock that I've never seen before. I actually caught part of it recently, and it's really cool. And there's a ton more material there. They are the perfect sponsor. And when you go to gaia.com/earthancients and you sign up for their special, it's a 99 cent first month special. After that, I think it's $9.95. You support Earth Ancients. And if you like what we do here, if you like my guests, if you like what I'm doing and how we are evolving the show, hey, support them, sign up. And you'll like it. Hey, believe me, if you like what's here on this show, you'll dig Gaia. Gaia is a perfect sponsor. So support them because they support us. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Paul. I used to ask if you could hear me now with Verizon, but I switched to Sprint. They changed the game again with unlimited freedom. Unlimited mobile optimized streaming videos, gaming, music, and data for $60 a month. Can you hear that? Visit Sprint.com/freedom today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere for discounted phone. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Streaming may be mobile optimized with video up to 480p and music up to 500 kilobytes per second. Games limited up to 2 megabytes per second. Prohibited network use rules apply and data deprioritization during congestion. Reliability claim based on third-party data restrictions apply.